Now Kerr looking for the long. Oh, that's brilliant. And Sam Kerr has surely clinched the title now. World-class players do world-class things.
And breathe. Yes, welcome back to another episode of the Fran Kirby Fight Club. And before I say anything else, I just have to say, Andre, who's joining me here as he does each week, how are you doing? Because we just played against Arsenal. It wasn't 3-2 like I predicted. It wasn't 2-0. It wasn't comfortable by any means as you predicted. It ended 1-1. There was a goal from Arsenal. We will go into depth about that goal. I don't even feel like I want to skim it. I want to really tear this apart. So there was a goal from Arsenal. Kim Little put away a penalty. And then we scored. And guess who? Guess who can only ever be Sam Kerr, 90th minute maybe. My head is just too clouded to be able to give you specifics. But it was very late in the game. And she came up in the clutch moment and it ended 1-1. But there were lots and lots of things to talk about. So before we say anything, I think we do have to talk about the lineup. I don't know about you, Andre, but I was a little concerned because I just felt like this lineup implied a bit of a change, shuffling. Emma Hayes sometimes does this, and I was thinking, is this the game where you should be doing that? So we were playing with a back four. I'll just read it from the top. So we had Musovic in goal, Bright, Ingle, James, Wright, and Ericsson, Fleming, Kerr, Charles, Cuthbert, Buchanan. So that was a back four, a midfield three, and then James, Kerr, and Fleming up front. Anything about that lineup that stands out to you or makes you think just as I was thinking, maybe?
Yeah. I don't want to pick on it. First of all, let me react to the game real quick before I get into it.
Yeah, please do.
I am, it's too early in the morning over here in the States for this kind of stress. I was stressing out. I woke up and I was like, all right, I got to get my, we haven't had the WSL back. We haven't had a match versus Arsenal in a while, a top of the table kind of match. And I was just like, oh, I got to get myself back in the gear, get into it. And it took a while for me to be like, all right, we're here. And really the player that helped the most with that was Lauren James. And then that whole, I know we're going to talk about it all. So I'll get to the lineup question, but it's just, wow. Just wow. Mm-hmm. What a game, what a frustrating game that turned into kind of an opportunity to troll your rivals, which I appreciate. So thank you, Chelsea. Thank you, Sam Kerr. Thank you, Helena Kankovic. But lineup. Sorry, let's get to the lineup. I hesitated when I initially started saying this because I understand giving Neve Charles an opportunity. She's earned it. She's played very well the beginning half of the season. I actually thought that, once Parise was brought in, that was going to be our starting right back. And then Charles played well and has, kept her. It's kind of been a toss-up. But I was concerned because I did not feel like this was the opponent or the time. I thought you needed a natural right back in that position. I didn't necessarily want Jess Carter because I still think you need somebody who's good at going forward. But I really thought that Parise was really the move here. And so it was a little interesting to see Charles. Mm-hmm. I was also sad to see Fran Kirby out with a knock. She was not able to start, but she did come on. So clearly it's not too serious. I also think the Jesse Fleming inclusion was a little interesting. I think that was probably due to the knock from Fran Kirby, but also when you kind of look at the match, she didn't really do a whole lot to impact the game either, which is sad for me because I'm a Jesse Fleming stan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you're right. There were a couple of things that stood out immediately, and to be honest with you, I know we've been moaning about conservative football and how it's just boring and, anti-Chelsea, but I felt like at times today it would have been really useful. I think you might have missed maybe a couple of early minutes in the game if you were still asleep or mentally not present, but one thing I noticed straight off the bat is that Chelsea were very much looking to play on the counter. Now, we know that Chelsea are really good with high turnovers. I think either Aaron Cuthbert or just Chelsea as a team do lead the record in turnovers this season. So you could tell that they were pushing up higher, but the issue came straight away in which that Arsenal were moving possession very quickly and they were having access to the passing lanes. So they were bypassing this press. And to be honest, the press was really very much Aaron Cuthbert, leaving Sophie Ingle by herself to just man that gap in the midfield. And I think it was so dysfunctional. And straight away, there were just huge swathes of areas to clear. Once you got past those two, you're like, you know, you're in free space. And that's where those chances were coming from. And maybe Emma Hayes sort of thought, and maybe like a couple of us, that would settle eventually, but it really did not. I think that double pivot wasn't working, and it was so strange to me. And I was telling my partner at the time, this is so unlike Chelsea, and not just unlike Chelsea, but the tactics are unlike what Emma Hayes would normally do. I didn't think we needed to hit them on the counter. I think we had enough to make that work. And as you say, Lauren James was showing that just by having her there. But it was a strange issue in midfield that was causing a lot of our problems. And then past half-time and no changes had been made. I think the Kankovic change should have been made much earlier. In fact, I'd said it to my partner. I said, take off Ingle to bring Kankovic in and let Aaron Cuthbert do what she wants to do, which was push forward. Eventually, we did that in the 80th minute and eventually it paid off. So in the end, Emma Hayes did make the right substitutes, but maybe we're kind of questioning this lineup. It seems unlike her. I mean, we do say that sometimes she does this, but why has she picked this game to do that?
It's just such a weird, I don't know. I always worry about Chelsea coming back from a break because we never really kind of know what Chelsea you're going to get. Far too, I think, in the most like recent history, we've kind of seen Chelsea come back and be a little timid, take a little time. I thought maybe going away for that Spain camp was going to be a good thing, kind of refresh the players. And I still think it was a very good thing to do. I think it's better to, you know, do a little something for the players. They earned it. They deserve that. But they also look like they worked hard out there. So I was looking forward to that. But Arsenal is always a tricky opponent to come back with. You know, the first game of the second half of the season, and it could potentially be a title decider. And that is a lot to put on teams just coming back into the season after nearly a month off.
Yeah, and I think you are right in saying that we've always had that issue recently. It's coming into the game slowly isn't so bad when you have a tactical plan in mind, whether that's catering to that team or, as we know, Arsenal. We knew Arsenal had certain issues, but I think we didn't tweak our team to see how they would exploit that. Like, for example, I know they've signed a new signing and they had a couple of those on the bench, but one thing they made really good use of it is the flank areas. They were using that to bypass our press. And then once those gaps opened up, there were a lot of balls going into the box. And I could see that Millie Bright was coming out positioned to deal with that. I'm wondering how much this new position for Erin Cuthbert was something that was trialed to like a more deeper extent today, because you know there was that piece in 90 Mins and I spoke about it in a piece I wrote for Sky Sports. She's been doing all this training of this new central midfield role, but I liked what was happening before that. I mean, I think her and Ingles were doing such a good job, and I think once you give them two separate roles to do, we were being overrun in that midfield. And Kim Little, who scored the penalty, I think she did an amazing job today, and I hate to say that, it sounds yucky to even say it, but I think she was amazing. She knew exactly how to deal with that. She was able to pass forward. She was much higher up than a normal number eight. And I think that's probably why they let Jordan Nobbs go, just because she's doing so well in that role. So that was concerning for me. But at the same time, in saying that, I felt like if we had just played bad and it was 0-0 or Arsenal scored from open play, I'd be like, fine, we deserve that. You know, we didn't play well. There's obviously something strange going on. And maybe Emma's hand was forced because something happened in the background. I don't know, like an injury or whatnot. But the nature of their opening goal, by the way, I had to ask you, is there anything else you'd like to talk about before we reach this stage of the podcast? Because I'm putting aside time and dedicating it talking about this.
Yeah, and you know me, I don't love to focus on like refereeing decisions. I don't love to do that, but this is such a big game that it kind of warrants it. So I know we have to talk about it. But, you know, I think the one thing I want to talk about, I want to kind of touch on what you were saying in terms of Arsenal's midfield. and how they were kind of working on the flanks. And I think that was the flank part was one of my concerns with having Neve Charles. There were a couple times when, you know, a natural right back kind of knows that when they try to do that, you know, kind of give the ball off to either a high fullback or a central midfielder who drifted wide and then take that run in behind, knows kind of how to position their body to make the angle of that pass much narrower. And Charles isn't really a natural right back just yet and doesn't really have all the technical abilities or skills in her toolbox yet. She's very, very good. I don't want to act like I'm singling her out or I'm saying she's not good enough, because she is, and she's developing and she's still very young. But she is quality. I mean, you saw when she gets a one-on-one duel, most of the time she's pretty good. You know, there are a couple times when she handled Fjord quite well over there on that side. But I think the thing that would kept on happening is that kind of intricacy of play, and Charles wasn't really positioning herself to limit that pass. So all the Fjord was able to hold up the ball, you know, kind of create a little separation, make a pass, run in behind, and then she's fed the ball because there's this big angle, there's a big gap to do so. And then when Parise came on, I think you saw what a natural right back does. It's not that she's, you know, more athletic or faster or whatever, and it's positioning. And she positioned herself better to cut that pass off. And so they tried it a couple times, and she intercepted the ball, or she was able to poke it away or clear it or something like that. So I think that was limiting for Arsenal as well. Once Parise came in, another reason why the Charles thing was confusing to me. But then you mentioned midfield, you know, Cuthbert and Engel. I thought they did as well as they could. That Arsenal midfield three is tough, very, very tough. And you're already at a numbers disadvantage there, two versus three, with a midfield that plays very intricately well and is as technical as they are. So my biggest concern, though, was there seemed to be a lot of space behind them. And that's what I didn't like to see. Like, we have seen when Sophie Ingle is out there before, and we talked about it in the last pod because we were kind of giving Sophie Ingle a lot of praise for how she played, but Arsenal was able to find the gap behind her and in that space in between her and the defense. And there was sometimes, you know, players were slow to step out. There were some shots from just outside the top of the box that if they were placed better, they could have scored much earlier than when they did. And so that was concerning to me to see that happen, because it'd been so long since we saw somebody consistently get into that space with the midfield that we've relied on for the first half of the season.
No, I think you're right. And I feel like we've seen that in glimpses in Ingle's game. And sometimes we've criticized it. We talked about it a couple of times over the last few seasons. And she was in a really good stretch. But I think it's like you say, Arsenal... And I said it last week, Arsenal knew that they weren't strong enough without Medema. They focused on our weaknesses and they did it really well. One point to touch on with Charles is, I think you were right in saying that she struggles with those positionings and intricacies, but I also felt like her sense of awareness and urgency is just like, often she doesn't sort of gauge how much time and space she might have for a pass. And I think that came down to Arsenal's attackers pressing really well. I think there was one where there was a ball in behind her and she thought she'd get there first, and she was jogging and then she was sprinting, and then a couple of other times where a ball had been played over her. And it's not so much that it's, you know, as you say, it's not about her speed or her ability, but I think being alert and sharp is something that, you know, that she still needs to develop a little. And I think that was the reason why I felt like our centre-backs, both Bright and Buchanan, were coming out a lot. And I don't just mean coming out because they're very good at coming out and playing the ball. I mean having to come out position to defend and then realizing that there's a gap behind them, and that makes us more susceptible. So definitely a couple of things from our end that led up to that equalizer and the opening goal. And you are right, I don't want to focus too much on the refereeing stuff, but the reason why we have to say it is because it keeps happening, and not just, you know, any game, but it keeps happening against Arsenal. And maybe we wouldn't be so upset if it was against a lower side and it didn't mean anything. But the whole point of being aggrieved about it is that this is a very important match. We know last season how close it came, and we really can't afford to be dropping points. Loads of replays show that the foul that Charles did foul the player, but it had happened quite a ways outside the penalty box. Fjordan had then fallen into the box, which I'm pretty sure that if contact begins outside, then that's a free kick. Contact has to be within the box for it to be a penalty. And the angle at which the referee was seeing it was unhindered. You know, that makes me think that she had seen it. And if she had seen it, was she given other information from somebody who was near the touchline or behind the goal? It baffles the mind, but we won't know. That's the thing. We're not clued in. There's no VAR. There's no explanation. There's no expert analysis from referees like, you know, Peter Walton sometimes does on Sky. It happens in men's football as well. I mean, just the other day that Marcus Rashford had scored in the Manchester derby and United won, and it was clearly offside and VAR didn't disagree with it. So even if there was VAR, you'd be able to like find a way around it. And it's difficult when refs only get one look at it. But I just feel upset by the fact that the refereeing standards are so low, and it impacts us negatively. And also our players were complaining about it as it happened. And I didn't feel like we'd even had any airtime or anyone say that. So it was just really upsetting. And as you said, you tweeted it, I think it's really hard to get over that. You're annoyed and irritated, you're losing. And actually, the goal itself, like you might have been playing bad, but the goal itself wasn't even meant to be a goal. It's hard to get through that mentally. But, you know, where there's a will, there's a way, and there's a Sam Kerr, and she's always going to score. So that has kind of helped me a little bit, but I'm still a little bit upset.
Oh, I'm extremely upset still, because that could have been a win.
Yeah.
You know, Arsenal didn't score an open play goal. They had good chances, but I also want to give a shout out to Musovic. You know, seeing her in goal was a bit of a surprise. I thought Berger would come back into the team after the break. And she had time, you know, to kind of recover from her injuries. You know, she's been struggling with a couple things in the first half of the season. But Musovic played very well versus PSG and kind of had another situation where she needed to tip a ball over the bar. There were some saves that she had that were pretty remarkable. I think one from a header that was down that she popped up and then caught. I thought that was a really, really good save, because if that ball goes anywhere in front of her, there are like three Arsenal players in the box, like around her ready to tap that in. So I thought that she played very well, and Arsenal did have their shots and chances. Like I said earlier, they also shot directly at her a couple times, so that helped. But that was not a penalty at all. And I think that's the thing that frustrates me, is that if it's there's questions whether it's a foul, but if it's a foul, you know, because it is a shoulder to shoulder thing. But if it's a foul, it's absolutely outside of the box, and outside the box by a good ways. Not like you need, you know, that you shouldn't need. This is the thing. I saw a lot of conversation about VAR afterwards. And I do think if it is a standard in the men's game, it should be a standard in the women's game. But I also think with this particular call, you didn't even need VAR. The referee was in a good position, standing right there. You saw when the contact started, player falls in the box and you point to the spot. I was just like, are you kidding me? And not again. So we've talked about this a lot. And this is, like you mentioned, particularly against Arsenal, this is so frustrating. There was another game. What was it? The opener last season at the Emirates, 3-2. They scored their winner via offside goal. Beth Mead was a yard offside, if not more. And then at King's Meadow, again, another game against Arsenal, handball. Player jumps up in the air, hits the ball with their forearm, not like shoulder or anything, or not bicep, actual like swinging down forearm, hits the ball, no penalty given. And then today, that it's like every single time in these games, and I'm sorry, like you said, these games are too important to have these missed calls, like missing calls this big. You cannot do that. And I don't understand why it happens. Like, I know referees miss calls, but this is so consistent. It's almost like I was thinking when it happened, I was thinking, all right, in my match previews, I'm just going to have to start writing about this. Like, this is just going
to
become
I said to you last week, absolutely 100% something's going to happen. I don't know what it was. It's like a fucking bingo,
well,
you know.
Thing. Like,
what is it going to be? Like, you know,
we should now know exactly what it's going to be. So my bullet points are going to be like what to expect from the lineup and the tactics, and then be on the lookout for a dumb refereeing decision that's going to harm Chelsea. It's just apparently the way that these things go, and it's very frustrating.
But I think I'd be more understanding if it was something that was like genuinely like difficult to tell. Like if it was like, let's say the ball was like an inch over the line, or like if it's like, you know, things where you really can't tell, and you'd be like, okay, I can't tell, and they must definitely not tell. But this is so obvious. It's like so glaringly obvious. You then start to think, okay, what you know, maybe it's the emotion of the situation. You know, there was a record amount of people at that ground, 45,000 or it was 46,000. It's a big game. There's a lot of pressure. And, you know, I guess the thing about not having VAR and having it in men's football was, you know, if you make a mistake, there's no second chance. So that person, that referee has seen it the first time, has made a decision, and they can't go back with that decision. It's different in men's football, right? You could give something and go back and be like, yep, that was a mistake. So I guess I do feel some sympathy, but it's like, why, you know, that maybe they could have taken some time to process it, and then they would have realized, hang on, that, like, you know, information catches up with you, your brain processes it. I'm not sure. I'm just saying things because I'm trying to understand, but maybe we just accept that we shouldn't understand and just gonna happen, and we should emotionally prepare ourselves for it.
So I also wrote, as soon as it happened, that it was an incredibly inconsistent decision, because not only was it a wrong decision, it was inconsistent with what was happening in the game. You remember, and they showed it, like, it was. I watched it again afterwards because they showed the match highlights immediately after the game. And one of the big points was Caitlin Ford ran right into Neve Charles, wasn't even playing the ball. Charles and, like, body checked her sideways, and the referee had no reaction. And then the Weinreiter, I think that's how you say it. Apologies if I got the pronunciation wrong, which I'm sure I did. But there was a shoulder to shoulder challenge in which Kerr goes down in the box. Referee didn't even blink. So you're thinking, okay, shoulder to shoulder in the box, it's fine. Neve Charles says, okay, shoulder to shoulder outside the box, clearly must be fine then. And apparently that's a penalty. I mean, at the time I was really frustrated because the match was so tense, so I couldn't even just, like, laugh at it. Like, this is just so absurd. I have nothing to do but laugh. I just got, like, deflated. And that's why I give, like, a lot of credit to the players on the pitch, because most of them have been on the pitch for all of these bad calls that go against you when you play Arsenal. And it's difficult. You get another one after this tense of a half, first game of the season, the second half of the season, first game of 2023, and you're having to deal with that. I was on my couch and I was deflated. I wasn't even doing nothing. Like, they're running around still trying to win this game. So I give them credit. They were wobbly right after the goal, because how could you not be? But eventually they got it together, and thank God for Elena Kankovic and thank God for Sam Kerr.
And you know, you say well done to the players, but also well done just to Emma Hayes, because, you know, she made plenty of interesting decisions prior to the game and during the game. And I thought she'd waited too long to bring on the substitutes as well. Clearly she was waiting for something to happen. But it got to the 80th minute and she made the right changes. Doesn't matter if it was the wrong time, they were the right changes. Definitely needed Neve Charles off. And that wasn't just because she'd conceded the goal. You know, it's not like that, obviously. There were other issues. And I'd said from the first half, 10 minutes in, I'd said straight away, we need a change in midfield. She made those right changes and it resulted in a goal. I think the most important thing about bringing Kankovic on was the fact that we had a player who, much like Melanie Leupolz, who we know is returning, is able to pick out a pass, a key pass. And props to Leah Williamson, because she really marked Sam Kerr really well during the game. But that's the vision that players like Kankovic possesses. You know, she saw that moment that Williamson had actually drifted a little, and straight away, pinpoint pass. And I was watching on a stream, so my stream froze as that ball was going towards goal. And I was like freaking out, like, had it gone in.
Kankovic broke the stream.
What was that? Quite literally, yeah, she did. But I think even before that, Eve Perisic coming on, as you mentioned it before, straight away the change was noticeable. She had a couple of chances, actually. There was even a chance where she got through and she had a shot that hit the side netting, but she was in the sun. But it opened us up so much more, and I think Arsenal went from being able to manage the fact that we were shifting in formation and having more width played to suddenly being overrun by it. And it meant that Sam Kerr didn't have to hold the ball up anymore. Often she would be in the middle of the park and I'd be like shouting at the screen, get into the box, you know. We didn't have the player to pass, because even Wrighton was occupied and they did really well in keeping Wrighton away from central areas. So having those players on freed up Sam Kerr. And as soon as she was in the box, I just knew, give this woman a moment and she'll make you pay for it. And boy, did she make Arsenal pay for it.
Yeah, I think that's an excellent observation, because it really is. Like, we saw Sam Kerr started to drop quite deep which was necessary in order to progress the ball. But then, of course, then she also needs to be a primary target in the box. And it's hard to be both, especially when you have to do the amount of running that you have to do versus a team like Arsenal in order to find the gaps. So I honestly really wanted Kankovic to come in a little earlier. I was quite concerned with, you know, taking off Sophie Ingle. The problem with our midfielders is that we're just not deep in that area at the moment. You know, Lupo's is coming back, and I do hope that, even though it probably won't be Guerrero, that may be a summer signing, but we don't really have another midfielder that we can just throw in there that we're going to be comfortable with just yet. And so I was concerned about what could happen in the defense, defensively, if you bring in Kankovic too early. But I wanted to see her come in just because of stuff like this, her vision and her technique. It's one thing to have like one, but when you combine both, she can see the pass and she has the range and ability to put the pass where she wants to put it, when she wants to put it. So like the thing with this is that like Sam Kerr has to be like, the ball has to be in the spot and Sam Kerr has to be arriving at the spot all at the right time. And the type of pass has to be, have enough pace on it, but not too much, because a goalkeeper can come. If it floats, a goalkeeper will come and get to it first. So like that pass from that angle is just something that's very, very hard to defend. And honestly, I don't think you can defend something like that. When the placement is that good, when the run is that good from Sam Kerr, it's just perfection. And I wanted to see that more because, you were right. Like our normal routes of attacking were blocked off. Arsenal were very, very intense about getting, like, they packed the box. They got basically formed a wall in front. Like, they were defending super narrow because we were trying to attack centrally and get shots off. And I don't know how many shots they blocked, but it was a ton. I mean, I know we only had two shots on target and one was the goal. So, like, they were absolutely blocking a bunch of our shots. They were not allowing us to attack in our normal ways. So credit to them. But Kankovic sees things a little differently sometimes. And what she's able to do, the passes she's able to pull out from deeper in midfield are just outrageous. And I was hoping that something like this was going to happen. So I wanted her on. And then when it happened, I'm still incredibly amazed. So like I was ecstatic to see this. And honestly, more than deserved the win due to the stupid call. This should have been a 1-0 win. But you know what? We're still top of the table. I'll take it for now. I may complain about it again later in the season, but I'll take it for now.
I think that the interesting thing as well is when Kankovic came on, she had a note in her hand. And like my partner was asking me, he was like, it can't just be one thing, right? Because then why would she need a note? So I'm wondering whether it was like a couple of tactical changes, obviously. And I was just thinking what it could have been, but maybe it was just like, find Sam Kerr at all costs, put in crosses as much as you can. I don't know if she handed that note to anyone or she just had it with her. Definitely wouldn't have thrown it away on the pitch, because you know, like nowadays opposition players will just pick it up and like, you know, your tactics are ruined. But yeah, you're right in saying that it was clear that there was a plan, and I'm glad that there was a plan, because like for most of the game, and even you would see it in the tweets, because I was tweeting, I was just confused. It's like, what is happening? What is going on? But it's nice to know that there was at least some way to end. And as you say, at least it wasn't a defeat. It should have been a win. It shouldn't have been a draw, but we do have 1 point. We do maintain our winning run. I think it's like 9 wins. We've got 27 points. We've scored 31 goals, which is crazy. 32, actually. We can't let this bother us, especially because the next game that we're playing, talk about stressful matches, we're playing Liverpool next week on the 22nd. So we need to, like, you know, try to channel the sort of the end of the game where we had a bit more defensive and midfield stability and tried to bring that into the next game.
Ultimately, what this means for the table is kind of like as you were. So, you know, Arsenal still has the game in hand. We still have the top of the table lead, and we still are up by, 3 goals now on goal difference. Mm-hmm. Manchester United at the moment looks like they could leapfrog as well, because they are currently winning against Liverpool. That's 3-0, so that's not going very well for Liverpool. So Manchester United, they also have a game in hand too. So this could be interesting. They could, all three teams, Manchester United, Arsenal, and Chelsea, when games played actually levels out, all could be on an equal number of points. And then it comes down to goal differential. And right now, Chelsea has the lead, but if Manchester United scores a couple more goals, things get kind of tight. So it's just going to be a wild title race. And I'm, can we just have better refereeing decision? That's really all I want.
We're not asking for a lot.
I don't want to lose a title to a bad refereeing decision. We've come close. Like I said, last season, very close. It was 1 point. And that those 2 points were given to Arsenal because of that Beth Mead offside goal that was given on the beginning opening day of the season. So I'm hoping it doesn't come back. So far, we've avoided it. But at some point, it's like these decisions do have consequences. And it's frustrating that I'm sure there's internal accountability, but I just want to see something has to be done to like make this more consistent and just better overall. And I guess the answer probably is VAR if that's what you're looking for. But I don't know. Like I said before, this one was not difficult. The handball was not difficult. The offside call was not difficult. These are not difficult decisions.
Maybe it comes down to the individual people, and sometimes it's a reflection of their understanding of the rules. So maybe it's something that needs to funnel down to the referees that are involved. And maybe sometimes it's just the stress of the situation if they only get one chance. But even then, as you say, it seems VAR is the response. But I think we do have to see it in motion. We have to try that out and see how that works. Definitely needed. And, you know, the WSL isn't the only sport. A lot of people were talking to me about the NWSL saying it's needed there as well. So I think women's football is, you know, it's fast coming to get to a point where you can't avoid these things. They become unavoidable. But fortunately, that's not all the game is about. As we mentioned, plenty of defensive issues, plenty of midfield issues, things that we are hoping that we can get a hold of before our next game and before the schedule really starts to get more intense. Andre, is there anything else you want to talk about before we head off?
Yes.
You do? Oh, okay.
I do. First of all, I'm gonna start with a bad, but then I'm gonna go to a good. Okay. Apologies, but I don't know what it was about this particular game, or if it was just, you know, coming back after a break or what, but I was a little sad about Gul Rytan's performance. You know, we're usually seeing her play a lot better, find gaps, find up ways to enable to influence the game from that left flank, and she just wasn't. There were a number of times when the ball got stuck under her feet, or she got like lost a duel. You know, she was having a hard time keeping the ball, and that's very, very uncharacteristic for her. So I was a little surprised and kind of sad by that a little bit, because I think that we really needed some sort of service. Kind of like what Kankovic did. You know, you needed to be able to exploit the gaps in the defense. If we're not going to be able to do it centrally, we're going to need to do it from deeper areas or out wide. And we weren't able to do that. And part of it was, you know, Arsenal's game plan was to put bodies around her and all of that. But she's also a player who makes clever runs off the ball. She kind of finds that space. So it's really hard to double team her, because it's not like she gets the ball to her feet and then she dribbles by somebody and makes it and puts in a cross. She does a lot of work off the ball, and Arsenal wasn't really allowing any of that. And she was kind of having a poor game when it did come to her receiving the ball in some sort of space or with some sort of separation. So that was the negative like part to me, the downside. Like our attack mm-hmm. was struggling. So like that's why I think like that penalty even like felt like more of a weight, because we were struggling to work out chances. We were really having a hard time figuring out how to attack Arsenal's goal. And when they get gifted a goal, it's like, okay, now how in the world are we going to find our way back into this? Now for the good news. Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Lauren James. I almost shouldn't say anything else.
Of course.
Especially that first half. Steph Catley, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that all this happened to you, but I'm also not sorry. Lauren James was just twisting players inside and out. And you know one thing I love? Is that so? And I was thinking about this during the game, you know, especially during the Men's World Cup. I saw a lot written about and talked about, you know, Messi walking. And if you paid attention to him at Barcelona, when he played Barcelona, you know that that's kind of his thing. He waits for things kind of develop, figures out how to exploit them. He kind of walks on the pitch, then he gets the ball, and then he's at like 900 miles an hour with the ball at his feet. It's terrifying. Lauren James doesn't do that, like, but she does something that's, I would say, in many ways, equally as uncharacteristic on the ball, which is just, and it has a similar effect of just breaking a defense, just kind of jogging. She gets the ball to her feet. She just kind of jogs. She's not going full speed. She's jogging with the ball, keeping it close to her, keeping it under control. But her jogging speed is all like, and maybe it's just the way that she moves. But you saw multiple times players try to get the ball from her from behind. She holds them off, almost like they're not there. And then she's able to manipulate the ball right, left, whatever she needs to do, hesitation, go this way, go that way. And she's by another defender, and then she's jogging, and then they catch up to her, and then she uses that momentum, slows them down, cuts in, cuts back out. Like, she was just turning Steph Catley all sorts of ways. Yeah. And she was just keeping the ball and just gliding by players. So she gets by one, and then it's back to jogging. And then she gets the feet going and the manipulation of the ball. And she gets by another one, and she's jogging, just waiting for more players to come. And like, is anybody going to give me a challenge today? And they didn't, especially in that first half. I was just like, every time she gets the ball, I just smile, because I know there's pretty much nothing that anybody can do about it. Whatever she wants to do, she's going to be able to get by you. And it just depends on what happens after that. And it was unfortunate that the rest of the attack wasn't really on the same level. But if we didn't have her and her ability to just like keep the ball for a while, Arsenal could have just been sending wave after wave of attack. But I mean, I hope somebody drops a highlight reel of Lauren James during this game, because she had a number of impressive runs and dribbles. And I cannot be happier about her development, her skill, and that she's with Chelsea.
I think the funniest thing is that you can tell, like, defenders just don't know what to do. They're not sure where she's going to go. And unfortunately, we did tweet that clip. And like, it's just like, I tried to understand what I might do in that position. I think you can't run away from her. You have to be face on, because in that way, at least you're like aware. But she was just like twisting and turning, and you could see the Arsenal defender was just like craning her neck left to right, like as fast as she could. And you're just thinking that, first of all, that's not very good for your joints. She's going to be hurting after that game. But second of all, it's just so like the uncertainty and the fear almost. The fact that someone can do that, as you say, if someone is jogging at you, it's not that scary as if they're like sprinting at you, right? Obviously, context is important. I don't just mean like, you know, in the street. I mean, even on a football pitch. But if someone is jogging at you and they still somehow instill fear in you, it's crazy that she can do that. There were several times that I was just like, you know, swearing out of like, you know, the fact that that was that amazing at the screen. Every single time she has a ball, without fail, every single time, she just goes past defenders like they're not there. And you know, she's not even looking. She's just aware of them. It's crazy. It really is crazy. And as you say, where she is now from where she came from United, she spent a whole season away from playing and slowly developing her game. Ah, God, I'm so happy for her. I'm happy we were there at the part where things weren't going well, because I don't think we would be able to appreciate this now enough if we didn't know the amount of effort it took.
I think it's so important to be able to give players time. Like, you get the best out of, like, I know we want, and that's why I don't really understand what's going on the men's side, because it is kind of hilarious. They just sign players and throw them out there. But like, making sure a player is ready, you know, and Emma Hayes is notorious for this. You get a signing, you're just like aching because you want to see the player on the pitch. You went out there, you recruited, you got somebody in who's new, and now everybody wants to see them. What can they do? And Emma Hayes doesn't care. She's not a fan. She's just like, whatever, I don't care. Player's not ready, or we want to make sure they're more ready or put them in a better position to succeed. And with Lauren James, that was making sure she was fully fit and recovered from her injury, but not just that, injuries, I'll say, but not just that, but also built up so that she avoids future injuries, especially knowing the way that she plays. She's going to get kicked a lot. She's going to get fouled a lot. And they needed to build her up a little bit to make sure that she could withstand that for a season. And we're seeing the results of that. And I think, like, we've talked about this, Fran Kirby, when she was out, every time she's out, she comes back playing even better than she was before. That's not how it's supposed to work. But I think it works within this Chelsea system because of how they're able to give players time and work with players, and also buy time. It's not like we're reliant on one particular player. We have a very talented and deep squad. And so that also is a bonus. But then players come in and they're ready to go once they're put on the pitch. And kind of the same thing with Kankovic. You know, she came in very excited to see her, picked up a little injury, and they just held her out for a while and said, no, when you're actually fully, fully fit, we'll put you out there. And we have seen some great performances from her in the past couple games, even at the end of 2022. And where would we be without that pass, their passing ability coming in to do something to Arsenal that was different than what we've been trying to do to them all game? Also, I just saw this quote from Sky Sports WSL just tweeted an interview with Emma Hayes, which I need to listen to the whole thing. But the quote that they put on the tweet is, quote, our forward play was the poorest it's been.
Damn.
And I agree. It was concerning. So from that vantage point, getting a goal feels like a win. Unfortunately, the goal was only an equalizer, but still, I'm like I said, I'm okay with the result right now because it wasn't a loss. We'll see what happens the rest of the season.
Like I said straight away, I don't think I could record if we had lost like that. But I'm glad that we have done something because I feel like I've at least got time to vent my frustrations and talk things out, which is always very important. Hopefully, this is the only time it happens. I mean, we don't normally have decisions that bad going more than once or twice. So hopefully this is it. And hopefully we don't see anything too stressful when we face Liverpool next week. Obviously, you get PTSD from that first game of the season. I think we're in a much better place, though. And if we're able to use today to build on that, then it should be far easier, as well as the fact that Liverpool aren't in a great run of form recently. So that's something to look forward to. And as you say, after that, we've got another game coming in quite thick and fast. But we will be reviewing them all. And I don't think I'll ask for predictions just yet. Or should I? I still haven't mentioned the fact that you said not only would we win this game 2-0, but we would be comfortable. You said comfortable. At least I said it would be chaotic. I admitted it. You know, maybe I affected things. Maybe, who knows? But I knew it would be.
And you just now understand why I hate predictions, because whatever I say, the opposite is going to happen.
Say the opposite. Give us some good luck.
But you have to understand that the universe is smarter than that. They're not going to be
right.
They're not going to be tricked by me just being that blatant in like the reverse psychology. It doesn't work, and it's frustrating. So my predictions, I have to just go ahead and say what I want, but then it never actually happens, and it's frustrating, and it's sad, and it sucks. And this was not comfortable at all in any way.
You know, because of the nature of today's game, I will actually, for the first time, I will say, let's not do predictions. Let's recover from this game. Let's just say that something good will happen against Liverpool. Let's bring some good luck and some good vibes. Maybe, though, what if the opposite happens? Oh, no, that only happens with you. Okay, you don't say anything.
Exactly. I was going to say, don't. So I'm not even, unmuted myself to say something. I was like, I'm not even going to say anything because then next week we'll be talking about me doing it yet again. So I'm just going to let you go.
And we got the good vibes coming. That is all. Right. Thank you guys for listening, and thank you for joining us and hearing us on what has obviously been a very frustrating day for quite a lot of Chelsea fans. But we're always glad to have a space where we can talk about it, and always happy that you guys engage with us, whether that's through the tweets, live tweeting during the games or afterwards, or even the really nice messages we get sometimes about our podcasts. So please do keep listening. As we say, we will be recording every weekend, or most weekends, sometimes midweek as the Chelsea fixture list twists and turns. And you can find us on Google, Apple, Spotify, and I think a couple of other platforms if you're a bit more niche. But thank you for listening today. I hope you guys find some way to recover, because I don't know about you, Andrea. I'm just going to chill and relax for the rest of the day and just try to tune away from the rest of the world. It was a draw, you know, we didn't lose, but it's sad. You get a little bit sad. So here's to good vibes against Liverpool. And if it doesn't end that way, then we'll somehow still blame Andre. Okay, thank you. Bye.